Hello and welcome back to Stalking Talmud. I'm one of your hosts, Dana Osman, here with my friend and chavruta Ann Gordon. Our daf today, Masechet Nazir, daf Lamed Vav, page 36. I'm actually going to start on the bottom of Lamed Hay. And one of the things that our Mishnah on Lamed Dalet Amud Bet talked about is Rabbi Akiva basically said that when you have permissible foods that combine with forbidden grape products, right, and together that makes up the critical amount of which a Nazir is not allowed to eat, the Nazir then would be subject to Malkut, would be subject to lashes. The example that the Mishnah gives is one of, you know, bread that is soaked in wine. So even though if you eat a kezias of that bread soaked in the wine, even though you're not eating a kezias of the bread itself, right, of the wine, excuse me, you still are, the Nazir would still be a chayav, would still be liable for having eaten a kezayit of something forbidden, even though it's not completely all the forbidden food itself that he ate of the kezayit of. And so the Gemara makes the following comment. I'm a Rabbi Abau, I'm a Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Abau said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, kol yisurin shabbat Torah. In talking about any prohibitions in the Torah, ein heter meets the reif lisur. The permitted doesn't combine with the forbidden to basically get yourself to a minimum amount that you would be punishable, chutz misurei nazir, except in the case of nazir. Shehrei amra Torah misharet, right? Because the Torah says, and here quotes a pasuk from Bamidbar chapter 6, verse 3, right? V'chol misharet anavim lo yishteh, nor should he drink anything infused with grapes. So what that teaches us is a nazir would be chayav for eating bread that have been soaked in wine. And even if the bread, you know, absorbs, let's say, a whole kezias of wine, right? Okay, so obviously if he ate all that bread, you know, then he ate also a kezias of wine. What we're really telling us is that let's say he ate less than, okay, where the wine had less than a kezias, okay, but the wine with the bread together adds up to a kezias, and then the nazir is going to be punished for that. And so it's the only case where we are mitzaref, where we combine together the heter with the iser. Okay, so then Ziri comes and adds a case. Ziri amar, af seor b'chol taktira, right? So this is even having to do with leaven, right? And the prohibition of not burning on the altar. So he's referring here to a prohibition that's in Vayikra chapter 2, verse 11, that says, kol mincha asher takrivu l'ashem, lo tasa chametz, ki kol seor v'chol davash, lo taktiru mimenu isha lahashem, right? And so this is any meal offering that you offer to Hashem should not be made of chametz. For all leaven and all honey, you may not burn on the altar. So this is a whole separate thing that there actually was like almost no chametz in the Beit HaMikdash at all, right? And so what he's saying is that because this pasuk says, right, you know, afsa or b'val taktiro, right? That burning on the altar means that it has to be just a kezias of the offering of the korban, but the kezias doesn't have to be completely made up of the chametz. So again, this would be an example of heter mitzaref im isur. So then the Gemara says, come on, right? According to who did Rabbi Zeri make the statement? Ke Rabbi Elazar did darish kol, right? He must have done this with the view of Rabbi Elazar, who basically is Darshan, who explains this word kol. But if that's the case, Ziri also could have said that this principle about combinations also applies to eating chametz. And what they mean here is that this particular statement also could have been about any chametz mixture that anybody's going to eat. And this is based on Psukim in Sefer Shmot. We won't get into all that because that's not the point that I want to make here. The question more about Zeri is why does he just add this one question about the Mizbeach and not add this case also about the Chametz? So Ein Hachanami, right? So indeed it's so, right? He could have used the example of Chametz as another example where we have Heter Mitzarev Le'iser, Ela La'afuke Mi'ibai, but he focuses on this, right, about this, the not burning, right, to emphasize, to exclude the view of Abaye. Because what does Abaye say? De'amar yesh haktara b'vachot mikazayit, who says that there is a person can be chayav for burning on the altar, less than a kezayis worth, right? Less than this olives volume worth of chametz. Kamash malan ein haktara b'fachot mikezayit. So Ziri informs us that by using this principle of combining the iser with the heter, what's not permitted and permitted together, right, with this do not burn, there's no liability of burning on the altar and less than an olive's worth. It has to at least be an olive's worth. Now, I just thought, you know, how they go with them, and you're going to get into a whole thing with Abaye afterwards, but I think it's teaching us something interesting about Nazir, right? That the prohibition of Nazir, when we say that you cannot eat wine, it's not a kezias horse. It's not eating that olive's bulk, which is generally the amount that we use for food. It's not with all food, but specifically with many types of food that are prohibited from eating, and that it actually can be combined with something that it's soaked in or dipped in. This has to do with, you know, the pasuk itself from Bamidbar chapter 6, verse 3, the idea that it's infused. But I think it's really interesting, you know, to have this concept of, you know, being mitzareif, of combining together heter and iser, and that nazir is an exception to that principle and not a principle that we usually use.
Yeah, I think that's the interesting thing here, right? It's not a principle that we usually use. I'm going to basically pick up pretty much where you left off. Yatziv Rav Dimi. So Rav Dimi was sitting, meaning he was sitting and learning, right? And he teaches, or he's talking about the halacha that this statement, Yordana, that you read from Rabbi Yochanan, namely that something that is permitted cannot combine with something that is forbidden, except in this case of Nazir. And that's like the unusual thing, right? And so that's what he's learning. I mean, that's his discussion. Eitzvei Abaye. Abaye has a question. You promised everybody I was going to talk about Abaye. Here we go. I guess you didn't promise them, but Amikpa shel truma vashum vashem shel chulin venagat vul yom b'miksatan pasal et kulan. So here we've got a case that Abaye brings as a question on that same position about this, you know, the permitted and the forbidden combining. It's from a Mishnah in the Masachet of Tevul Yom, which is far away and doesn't have Bavli Gemara on it, so it's not really part of Daf Yomi. I mean, except for what it's brought here. And so the case there is you have a thick soup that was made with produce that was truma. And together with that, you have garlic and you have oil, and they're chulin. They're not truma. They're not hekdesh. They don't have any sacred properties. And then you have who's making your soup. You have somebody who is ritually impure, but who had immersed that day to vul yom, right? That's where this mission is found. He had immersed that day so that then all he has to do is wait until nightfall to become pure. So he's done all those things, but he's still not yet rendered pure. But now he's touched the contents, right, of this soup, right? Some portion of it anyway. Pasal et kulan. All of it is considered disqualified, meaning it's as if everything there made it a truma soup, even that though all the ingredients were not truma going in. Mikpashel chulin vashum vashemen shel truma. What about the reverse? What if the soup is chulin and the garlic and the oil are truma? Venagat vul yom b'miksatan. And again, this tuvul yom person who has not—he's dunked, but he hasn't in a mikvah, but he hasn't yet waited out the day for his purification. He handles some of these things. Lo pasal ela makom magao. So in that case, the position that Mishnah, right, says that the tuvul yom will only disqualify, meaning render pasul, the things that he actually touched, and not the whole of everything altogether. So, meaning this is, Abaye is bringing this a question to say, you're saying that permitted and non-permitted do not combine, and here's the proof that sometimes, in fact, they do. And Abaye is going to continue, meaning from the end of this daf, from the end of the Amud, all the way through a good portion of Amudet, where we just have, you know, different objections from Abaye raised on this position, or the way Rav Dimi was presenting Rav Yochanan. And so, like, for example, you know, he wants to know why Rabbi Yochanan says that a person would get lashes for eating a kezayit of this kind of, the impure soup, for example. And it goes on, and we have more, and then Rav Dimi answers back to Abaye. I'm halfway through No, I'm at towards the top of a bet. Amarle hine lekutach abavli the lake of kazayin pichdech la pras. Rav Dimi says to Abai, don't bother us with that particular case, meaning the example that he had raised, which was about this kutach abavli, this particular kind of food, which is, it's a dip, but it's chametz gamor, because it has bread in it, and it's considered chametz gamor, complete and unadulterated chametz, I guess, whatever. And so the point is that he says, you're not going to ever eat a kazayit in the amount of time that it would take to eat a half a loaf of bread. It's just, it'll be too, it will take too long. Leave that objection aside. But then Abai has another objection. So I'm not going through all the cases, because what's interesting to me is, you know, more than the particulars, is the fact that we have this, I'm not going to call it a quibble. It's an argument, but it's the two of them kind of going at it, you know, where they, each of them has a position that they want to uphold or knock down, depending on what you're talking about. And Abai brings case after case after case, and Rav Dimi argues against and against and against, and then Abai brings an objection to Rav Dimi, and so on. I'm going now to the end of the Amud, and we'll finish it off, meaning they continue on to the next off. Elamai, heter mitzarif li'isur, amai amrina sha'ani omer. So Rav Dimi says to Abai, what are you going to say that when you have a permitted thing that combines with a forbidden thing, then if you're going to say that when, on that case, right, we still have a principle, which this is raised in a little bit higher on the daf, that a person could say, she'ani omer, meaning I say, this is what I say, because I say. What does it mean because I say? Because you said something. So let's say, because I say that the chulin, let's say the spices, fell into the chulin produce, like the rest of it, right? So I said that it worked out, that the chulin went with the chulin, and the hektesh went with the hektesh, the truma went with the truma, and let it be. But the point is that we have a policy that we rely on the person who says, sha'ani omer, meaning I'm coming to tell you that this is how it went down. And the idea that anybody is trusted to say that is already an interesting discussion in itself. But Rav Dimi says to Abaye, how can you accept the principle of sha'ani omer, that a person can come and tell you how it went down, if you're saying that it will never, ever work? Ella, I said that backwards. I'm sorry. If you're going to say that it can, in fact, sometimes work, why would you ever trust the person? Ella, Hainach l'tshumata drabananhi. So the Gemara here says, leave aside that case where you have truma that is separated out from these chulin spices, because you're talking about truma that is truma only drabanan. It's rabbinic truma as opposed to Torah law truma. So the sages are willing to be lenient when you're talking about rabbinic truma. Okay, I'm going to stop here. Just know, Abai is going to raise another objection, and it's going to go, again, back and forth and back and forth. I recommend reading it inside just to see the range of it, even if you don't pin down each particular detail of the argument.
Yeah, I mean, this is like nitty-gritty food halacha. You know, these are not general. It is some general principles, but it's really nitty. The cases are nitty-gritty.
First of all, we need to welcome back truma.
Oh, yeah. Truma is always a favorite.
Right? Truma has to. If you're going to talk about food in general, in any case, we're going to have the Gemara bring in truma examples, even when it's only drabanan truma. But what I found interesting here was just how far afield, meaning the Tevul Yom case that I did read inside, right, is much, much further removed and much more complicated than just a basic mixture kind of question.
Yeah, and I think, you know, again, this shows us like how much truma sort of was like an overriding halachic concern. Well, that's our top discussion for the day. Rank us, review us on all major podcasts. Thank you to Revenue Michelle Farber for hosting us on the Hadron website. Let us know what you thought about this stuff on our Talking Talmud Facebook page. And until tomorrow, go and learn.